1027 Business with Michael Avery.
It's day 601 of the lockdown, and the brand father, Jeremy Sampson, MD of Brand Finance Africa, is on the line as usual. Good evening, Jay. 40 billion rand. That's the number on our minds this week as Distell goes Dutch.
Hello, Michael. Yes, that's a sizable figure, isn't it? When you look at Distell, I think they're offering 180 a share, and considering where it was perhaps 5 years ago, where it went to, and now where it's come back. But it's a fascinating deal. Look, it's a top company, and the way it has changed, after all, Distell was only created when they put together Stellenbosch Farmers Winery and Distillers back in the year 2000, but where it's got to. And obviously, a lot of the value now is in new things they've done, the RTDs, the ciders, of especially Savannah, which is a huge success. And I think Heineken also liked the look of the network that since Richard Rushton has been there as CEO, they've been building throughout Africa. So I think it's a win-win for them all.
I certainly do. And I think Richard Rushton could be off to help Heineken with its Nigerian business that it's purchased over there. And you're mixing ciders and beer here, so you could probably call it a snake bite, whatever they're going to call this new co. But it is interesting to see as well the vote of confidence that this really is in the South African economy, because whenever a deal is done, Mrs. Charlene Heineken Carvalho, who's the Dutch-British billionaire businesswoman and owner of a quarter of the controlling interest in Heineken, I mean, she's the richest person in the Netherlands. She visits with her family. She visits the new company in the new subsidiary. So I wonder whether or not she might buy a wine farm or two at the same time.
Well, I think she'll find that she can actually pick up some wine farms. You know, the old SFW has been selling off some of their wine estates, you know, like Alto and others. And also they've got some beautiful properties within Distell. And this is what people sometimes forget, that within wine estates, there are some wonderful, wonderful properties. You know, Verheggen for Anglo-American Farms, as it was.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Boschendaal used to be Anglo-American Farms. So there are lots of things that could be picked up quietly, perhaps. So I think the opportunities are huge. Although I remember when Mark Cutifani was head of Anglo, he said, "What am I doing owning a wine estate?"
Well, Mark Cutifani was more the kind of guy who was at home on the shop floor with his workers in sipping wine on the slopes of the Stellenbosch Mountains, wasn't he? And he's also had a great run at Anglo, and we must definitely dedicate some time in future discussions to the job that he's done, following on from the terrible tenure of Cynthia Carroll and what she did with Minas Rio. But I want to talk about Tongaat Hulett. And speaking of CEOs that have really stood out, one that stands out for the wrong reason still is former CEO Pete Stouter. And if you just look at what's going on in Tongaat, I mean, it sold the almost monopoly starch business. So you talk about selling the crown, you know, silver there, mothballed some sugar mills, and the once profitable land conversion for property development. That's likely just to have completely ground to a halt because of the economy and COVID. You really question what's to become of this company following the announcement of this rights issue, and still no accountability over the alleged accounting irregularities conducted by Peter Stouter.
Well, exactly. You know, when you go back to the history of Natal, now KZN, between Illovo Sugar and Hulett's, Tongaat Hulett's, those were very much the crown jewels. Very, very significant companies. And what Mr. Stouty did there, to me, and others have used this term, and I know Chris Logan, the activist who's watching it closely, they're using the word criminal, but no account, no held to account at all. And it sounds as though he pulled the wool over the eyes of the board as well. And, you know, sugar, as we know, is a commodity. It's going through difficult times, but selling off all that wonderful land onto creating all those wonderful housing estates down there, you'd think it would still be very buoyant. But when you actually see the figures today for the rights issue, it is absolutely unbelievable the damage that he did during his tenure and still not held to account, which, you know, whether it's blue collar, political or white collar, people need to be held to account more.
And speaking of holding people to account, we've got new leadership at Deloitte. And, you know, Deloitte was the auditing firm at Tongaat and also Steinhoff and African Bank. So one wonders whether or not new CEO Ruwaida Redfern will be able to get this bird back in the sky.
That's a very interesting question, Michael. I think most of the auditing companies, especially Deloitte and KPMG as well, were the two that got into a lot of trouble. Deloitte, of course, also with Eskom. And it does highlight the fact that for an auditor today, life is very difficult, but you have to blow the whistle. You know, when you hear of auditors being in charge of companies for, let alone 5, 10, 20, sometimes 30, 40, 50 years, that's crazy. And this is where I think when certain authorities around the world say, well, there should be some sort of, relocation or putting in new people, that makes a lot of sense. Of course, the very big companies, it's almost impossible to do that because there aren't enough big auditing practices to go around, especially those companies that already have two on board. But no, look at Steinhoff, you know, what an abysmal litany of errors that went on. It wasn't just once and it wasn't just one year. It went on and on and on for a long period of time.
Absolutely. Well, one needs to have a healthy Big Four at least. There are a layer of firms underneath that, but we need Deloitte to get back up off the ground. And no more plane crashes, as Rob Rose said in the FM today. Funny new paper that the FM is using. I don't know if I like it yet, but I'm one of those who doesn't like too much change when it comes to my favorite mags and rags and that kind of thing. Let's end off with the Springboks, though, and obviously the big talking point ahead of this crunch clash at Twickenham over the weekend is World Rugby throwing the book at SA Rugby and Rusty Erasmus. Now, on one level, I'm sympathetic because I do worry that when you criticize referees so publicly and the way it happened, that will then poison the game down all the way down to school level. So one can't tolerate that. At the same time, World Rugby needs to hold up a mirror to itself and say, we are getting things wrong far too often when it comes to the officiating. What do you make of it all?
Well, I think it's a mess, and I think it's going to get more of a mess. Apparently, the bad blood, you know, has often, should we say, the rivalry between North and South has always been there. We know that. And the South now, of course, is not just New Zealand and South Africa. It's Argentina as well. But I believe one of the big things which someone reminded me of was when they were allocating the Rugby World Cup last year, everyone thought South Africa was going to get it, to the point that Cyril Ramaphosa flew over to the event and South Africa didn't get it. And that poisoned the atmosphere to quite a high degree. Also, of course, when you look at the Lions tour, you know, we've got the referee demanding an apology and someone saying, well, hang on, he made 23 mistakes in that game. Why doesn't he apologize to the Springboks? So it's getting messier and messier. And then in the last week, of course, we've had nominations for the top player and team, et cetera, of the year. And there's no mention of the two top teams in the world. In other words, South Africa and the All Blacks. Now, that is totally bizarre. Now, someone's actually said, well, MasterCard is the sponsor of the event. Haven't they got a voice? Shouldn't they be saying something? And what it's doing more and more, I'm afraid, is miring rugby generally around the world into a place that it doesn't need to be and shouldn't be. And look, the Rassi scene, you can say he went over the top, but it's not over yet. And I think it's going to get messier before it gets better. But the sooner they can sort themselves out, the better. This is unseemly for the sport.
Yeah, it is unseemly for the sport. But the one thing it does do is it writes the Springboks pre-match speech as they'll be heading into Twickers with all the motivation that they need. Jeremy Sampson, the brand father with the Brands and Sense here on Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.